evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Economic Program 2013 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Following today's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to pass the call over to your host, Dr. Fernando Aportela. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the conference call on the proposed economic program for 2013. The proposed economic program for 2013 emphasizes this administration's commitment towards macroeconomic stability and the sustainability of the public finances. With the objective of increasing the sustainability of the public finances, we propose a return to budgetary balance for 2013. The economic program for next year, as you know, does not propose substantial changes to the legislation, regulations, and procedures governing the existing fiscal framework and expenditures. This preserves the tax structure that was observed in 2012. The presentation of the proposed economic program for 2013 is framed within the launch of a comprehensive program agenda with clear measures to increase the Mexican economic growth capacity. And let me mention some of these measures. First of all, with regards to macroeconomic stability, the adoption of state policies that lead to stability will be consolidated. Basically, as I mentioned before, we are proposing the return to budgetary balance. Second, economic competition will be promoted in order to encourage producers to look for innovations in order to increase the productivity and quality of the products they offer to consumers. Third, further growth to infrastructure and investment will be achieved both by direct effects that investment itself has on economic activity and by the cross effect that improvement of conditions and logistics has for the entire economy. And finally, for 2013, a comprehensive reform of the public finance will be promoted, oriented towards strengthening tax revenues to reduce its dependence on oil and increase the state's ability to meet the needs of population in a context of sustainable public finances. I will now pass to Ernesto Revilla, who is the head of the Economic Planning Unit, and to Alejandro Díaz de León, who is the head of Public Credit, to give you further details on the program. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Ernesto Revilla. I will mention briefly the macroeconomic framework we are estimating for 2013. What are the variables that sustain the projections on revenues and on expenditures? For GDP growth, we are estimating a growth of 3.5%, which is basically the central estimate of many surveys for Mexico for 2013. This growth is sustained by a growth in the U.S. economy of 2% for the next year. For inflation, we're expecting 3%, which is basically the return to the objective of the central bank, 2% plus minus 1% in that month. For the exchange rate, we're expecting 12.9 pesos per dollar. Basically, a little bit more appreciated than what we have observed during this year. For interest rates, 4.6%. And in terms of oil variables, the president sent a budget with $84.9 per barrel, and the Chamber of Deputies increased that one to $86. In terms of oil production, we have 50,000 barrels per day, and that's basically the macroeconomic framework that was accepted yesterday by the lower chamber of deputies, and now is being discussed in the Senate. What this does for revenues and for expenditure next year is a total revenue projection that is 5.1% higher in real terms than for 2012. And as I mentioned before, this program has already been approved by the lower chamber in Congress, and now it's being discussed in the Senate, where no further changes are expected in terms of the total amount of revenues for next year. And yeah,
let me give you some details on revenues. Oil revenues are increasing 2.4% in real terms, for expected to increase next year. Non-oil revenues, tax revenues, and non-tax revenues on the aggregate will be increasing. We are expected to increase 6.6% in real terms. As you see, these are congruent increments according to the macroeconomic framework that Ernesto Rivilla just described. And why don't you comment about the expenditures, Ernesto?
Sure. So with these changes, which let me summarize what the Chamber of Deputies did for the total amount of revenues for next year. Basically, the program was approved as sent by the President, but with an increase in 25 billion pesos in the total amount of revenues for next year. How does this increase occur? It was, as I mentioned before, to a marginal increase in the price of oil to $86 per barrel in the Mexican mix, to an increase in the estimated efficiency of the Internal Revenue Service in tax revenue collection, and to the to an estimated increase in non-tax revenues for next year. So the total amount of revenues increased by 25 billion pesos, as mentioned before. So what this does to the total amount of expenditure for next year is an increase in 3.1% in real terms, out of which we have an increase of 2.5% increase in real terms in non-discretionary spending, and an increase in 4.8% in terms of federal transfers to state and the financial cost of the federal government.
So, basically, as you see, we have we will be showing next year a balanced budget without including Pemex investments. Pemex investments for next year are expected to be 2% of GDP. We have, in terms of public debt, I will ask Alejandro Díaz de León to comment on that.
Thank you. Regarding public debt, there are basically two main elements that are included in the revenue law. One is debt ceilings. In terms of debt ceilings, the external debt ceiling, which, as you know, applies both for the federal government and public sector entities and development banks, actually all the public sector as a whole, the debt ceiling was maintained as the previous years at $7 billion. And in terms of the internal debt ceiling, which that applies to the federal government, it is important to highlight that accordingly with this effort to go to budgetary balance, as was described by the Undersecretary, the debt ceiling was reduced. For this year, the ceiling was 435 billion pesos, and for next year, the one included in the revenue law, it's going to be 415 billion pesos. So this clearly illustrates the effort that is reflected into the debt ceiling accordingly with this emphasis to go to budgetary balance. And also to highlight the main elements that will guide debt management for next year, which are also included in the revenue law, are basically the same emphasis of relying on financing the deficit more on the internal side and using external financing as a complementary way, and try to maintain and to broaden the investor base that we have, and continue to take advantage from the currently relatively benign financial conditions that have been applied both to Mexico's financing on the external markets and in the internal markets. Those would be the most important highlights regarding public debt management.
Sure. Sure. Moreover, what we are getting on the on our forecast on debt is that with the budget that we are sending to that we sent to Congress, and that we expect that will be approved to, for 2013, implies a declining trend in the debt to GDP ratio in the following years. So I would like to mention that another aspect of this, which is the fiscal responsibility law, we are following by the book the fiscal responsibility law on all the variables, especially in this oil price. The new price that the Congress approved yesterday is in accordance with the formula in the law. So we are abiding all the terms of the law. I would like to mention finally that the main element of the package that we sent and in the program that we are expecting for next year is fiscal responsibility and macroeconomic balance. As you know, we had deficit in 2010 and 2011, and we are returning to balance this year, in accordance to the instruction of President Peña Nieto and in accordance to the law of the fiscal responsibility law. So I don't know if any additional comments, Ernesto and Alejandro.
I think that's basically it. If you have any questions, just insisting and mentioning again how this zero budget balance for next year is not only part of the instruction of President Peña, as was mentioned by the Undersecretary, but I would just like to mention that it also makes sense in terms of the estimated gap between potential GDP and observed GDP for next year. We are estimating that the Mexican economy is now running close to trend, so it also makes good sense in terms of macroeconomic policy, in terms of returning to budget balance. So that's what I would like to add, and probably open for questions. I don't know if Alejandro has anything else.
So we are open for questions.
And at this time, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one. Your first question comes from the line of Benito Berber from Nomura Securities.
Hi, thank you so much for the call. A quick question, and I apologize to, you know, it might be off topic, but what is your, if you can give us a guidance, what is your estimation of the cost of the social programs that are included in the Pacto por México? That's the first question. The second question is, are you worried about the position of foreigners in the M Bono market? Is there, what are your thoughts about it? Thank you so much.
Okay. Should we proceed with the answer? Let me answer the first question. As you know, we will be working on a fiscal reform for next year. We have a good expectations that we will have the support to pass this fiscal reform. The social programs that we are including in the next year budget have the initial ramp up of expenditures that you see in every social program. And let me give you some examples. For example, we have this laptop program will be start in only three states. We are deciding which states are going to be the pilot states for this program. For the old people pension, the age for receiving this program will be reduced from 70 to 65, and that has an increase in the budget of 26 billion pesos. So we are expecting that we will be accommodating the expenditures of these new programs in the next months and years. So we are starting with those gradually. So basically that is the key element that allows to maintain fiscal budget balance and at the same time initiating the programs that we need to start initiating.
Hi, Benito. Regarding the other question on foreigners holding Sofema bonos, as you know, for many years, the idea has been to have something similar to what we have in the exchange rate market, which is a deep liquid exchange rate market, and as you know, the FX is traded 24/7, and you can literally express a view on the Mexican peso any place in the world at any time. And the idea on the debt is something similar, trying to have a deep liquid market where investors can express their view on our instruments. I think it is it has been working well for us. I think the price discovery on our yield curve has been significantly enhanced by the participation of foreigners, and I think this clearly highlights that that is something that has been desired for many years now, and we are now experiencing, I would say, two sources or two causes behind this increase or in these inflows, which is one is the structural regarding the Mexican economy, which the absence of imbalances and the world performance in the last years clearly has made attractive for investors to have our debt instruments. The other one is clearly global monetary conditions, and in that regard, we always have to be mindful that we are experiencing a very peculiar time where we have abnormally monetary policies throughout the world to provide stimulus to the economic recovery, and that may also induce some additional inflows to countries like ours. And in that regard, I would highlight that it has been a goal to try to be ready in case some particular shock or external shock affects the economy. And in that regard, I think it's very important to highlight that the FCL has been renewed, and that clearly extends the period of time when we have additional $72 billion in order to cope with potential adverse shocks. So summing up is, it is improving the working of our market. It is a good idea to have a deep and liquid market where foreigners have an active participation. And for those adverse scenarios that could materialize, I think that we have been trying to have sufficient liquidity in order to cope with a potential adverse shock of that nature. And I think it is very important to highlight that just a few days ago, the FTL was renewed.
Thank you so much.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for taking the call and for your interest. I just want to finish mentioning that this is this package that we sent is a clear effort to sustain macroeconomic stability. It's very much in accordance with the time and the state of the economy. So we're expecting next year this new effort to do fiscal reform. So we will, we will be expecting to have the approval of the budget. We are expecting to have the approval of the budget in the next weeks, and we are very much on track of fiscal stability.
And excuse me, presenters, you do have one final question.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your question comes from the line of Iker Caviedes with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, thank you everyone for the call. Just a very quick last question. I believe this is for Alejandro. In terms of debt issuance, given that next year's plan to be marginally reduced to $450 billion, I was just wondering if the government will keep this strategy to marginally increase the duration of domestic debt, or if this reduction in issuance is something that could tweak that strategy of keep relatively increasing the duration of the debt.
Regarding that, as you know, we will be publishing 2 weeks after the whole economic package is approved, the annual issuance program el Plan Anual de Financiamiento, and we will also issue next week the details of the issuance for the first quarter. And it is important to highlight that in terms of duration, given also foreigners' participation in the domestic market, I think that also has allowed for duration to be increased, and also taking advantage of the shape and the level of the yield curve. But it is important to highlight that we will always be mindful in terms of issuing or increasing duration in a way that it is accordingly to what the market expects and to the demand perceived and expressed by investors in itself, the shape and the level of the yield curve. So we will remain cautious on how to issue longer tenor securities. I think we have been able to continue to expand duration and average maturity, and this has convey the benefit of reducing the risk of the whole financing strategy, and refinancing risk has been significantly reduced, which I think the European crisis highlights that it is of extremely important to try to abate that risk as much as possible.
Thank you very much.
And there are no further questions.
Well, thanks a lot for taking the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, with this, we conclude today's presentation. We thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.